South Australian Senator Anne Rustin, who's the Shadow Minister not only for health and aged care but also sport, who was no doubt avidly watching, like the rest of Australia, the Matildas last night. And Anne Rustin is on the phone. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning.
Nice to talk to you. Obviously disappointed in the result last night.
Look, disappointed, yes, but immensely proud. I think the girls played the most amazing tournament of football. And, you know, England was always going to be really tough last night. In fact, I think the final we watched last night, they were, I think, probably the two best teams in the finals in the competition. But, it's been an amazing spectacle for Australia to see just how good our girls are.
Well, record crowds, record ticket sales for a World Cup, record television audiences, not just in Australia but around the world, and a call for more funding for particularly women's sport. This is part of what Sam Kerr, the Matildas captain, had to say on that subject.
I think it's about getting the money into football to allow girls to play, to allow girls to have the opportunities to get to where they want to be.
Get to where they want to be. Now, the Coalition have made a big commitment to community sport. Can you just outline what it is that you would propose if you were in government, Anne?
Well, exactly what Sam called for last night after the game, and that is that we need to make sure that we've got the facilities so that when young girls and young boys, for that matter, decide that they want to play sport, that they've got the facilities that are encouraging them to do so. You know, right now, particularly in places like, you know, rural and regional Australia and a lot of our metropolitan areas, the facilities aren't up to scratch. They might have one set of change rooms, which invariably the boys get. So the girls sometimes, you know, changing in the back of their mums and dads' cars. And it's just, we think that we should be investing in that infrastructure so that when these young people are inspired by what they saw last night and what they've seen over recent weeks with things like the Diamonds winning the World Cup and our girls bringing and our boys bringing the Ashes home, that when they actually decide that they want to participate, that they've got the facilities to do so.
Yeah, well, interesting. I mean, you're talking about the lack of facilities in regional areas. Just your thoughts on Victoria abandoning the plan to host the 2026 Commonwealth Games.
Well, extremely disappointed because, you know, there's nothing like playing on home turf as we've seen with this World Cup. You know, the kind of enthusiasm and the inspiration that generates amongst a younger population. And the most important thing that we can do as policymakers is make sure that our policy settings are encouraging young people to be active, to play sport, to participate. And, you know, the decision by the Victorian government at the last minute, with some pretty spurious reasons, I might say, no one seems to know, you know, how on earth they managed to add $4 billion to the total cost of the Games. You know, I think it's really disappointing. It sends a very bad message to young Australians who are aspiring to play in those sports, and it also sends a really bad message to the rest of the world that, you know, a state like Victoria, you know, just pulled the rug out from an international competition with no real reasoning.
It's 7:15, my guest, South Australian Senator Anne Rustin, who's the Shadow Minister for not only sport but health and aged care. And when it comes to government spending, it's all about priorities. Many would say one of the forgotten priorities is aged care. That's under your ambit. And one of the government's commitments was this access to registered nurses 24/7, which was supposed to start, I think, on the 1st of July, but we're a long way behind that. Do you think that's a good aspiration to have, registered nurses 24/7 in aged care?
Look, I think all of the recommendations of the Royal Commission are great aspirations, and we should all strive to achieve them because, you know, there wouldn't be a person in Australia that doesn't want the very best care for older Australians. But you can't make promises and legislate to force nursing homes to do things when it's just not possible. We know we're probably anywhere up to 20,000 registered nurses short in Australia for our needs. And to bring forward the recommendations of the Royal Commission, demand aged care homes have these nurses in place 24/7 when there just physically aren't the nurses to be able to fill the jobs. It was a ridiculous thing to do, and now we're seeing nursing homes closing down, people moving, having to move away from their communities and their families because these homes are closing. I mean, it's once again a great headline policy by the government, but no thought whatsoever about the practicalities of implementing it, and particularly in rural and regional areas.
Well, another good headline policy, and it certainly captured a lot of attention, the government's move to implement 60-day dispensing policies for medicines. Certainly it would appear that the medical profession are on board with that. Pharmacists certainly aren't. They say it'll be the death knell, particularly of pharmacies in regional areas. Your thoughts on that? I mean, it would appear, and that's the way it's presented, it's going to make things cheaper, and with the cost of living crisis, surely that's a good idea, the 60-day dispensing policy?
We absolutely support people getting access to cheaper medicines, and we support 60-day dispensing as a concept. What we don't support is the way this government has gone about implementing it. We could have had the best of both worlds if only the government had consulted, but instead of the government doing that, they've just forced the full cost onto pharmacies, which we're now seeing pharmacies, particularly rural and regional pharmacies, and those that support aged care and the like, coming out and saying that they are probably going to have to start charging for things they previously didn't charge for. So it's a false economy. The cost of living benefit that is achieved by the savings for consumers will probably be eaten up the additional costs that the pharmacists are going to have to charge just to keep themselves viable into the future. So once again, as you say, great headline, but no thought about the flow-on consequences of the implementation. And we're calling on the government, get back to the negotiate with the pharmacists and the sector so we have the best of both worlds. We can have cheaper medicines for Australians, but our pharmacies will be able to continue to provide the value as they do to Australians.
Somebody else who's generated quite a few headlines recently is Victorian Independent Senator Lydia Thorpe. She addressed the National Press Club luncheon yesterday and has called on the Prime Minister to ditch the voice referendum because she said it's doing nothing other than embolden racists and spark division. I suspect you agree with that, Anne.
Well, what I would say is that right now Australians do not have the information I think they justly deserve to have before they make one of the most serious decisions at the polls, and that is to change our founding document, the Constitution. The fact that the Prime Minister still refuses to give detail has been a source of great frustration for us because, we don't want to see a divided country, but at the moment with no detail, and to be fair, Mr. and none of his ministers told me or shown anybody how on earth this voice is actually going to make the lives of Australian Indigenous Australians better. You know, the life is one more woman or one less woman going to be the victim of domestic violence? You know, is one more child going to go to school more often by this voice? No one has been able to tell us that, and I think it is incumbent on Mr. Albanese to come clean with the Australian public because what he is doing at the moment is very divisive.
Look, I know in the past you, but can I call you a primary producer? You were a commercial rose grower for a while, weren't you, Anne?
I was indeed.
So the things like biosecurity would be something you take notice of. I mean, we have this real problem in my area around the Newcastle Hunter Valley area with a varroa mite, which seems to be spreading at the rate of knots, and the red fire ant seems to be on the march down from Queensland into New South Wales. Do you think the federal government should be and state governments doing a lot more and spending a lot more on biosecurity?
Well, given the value of our agricultural sector to our nation, biosecurity could not be more important when it comes to agriculture. I think the thing that I was probably most aghast at by and moved by this government is actually the idea that they are going to tax Australian primary producers a levy so that levy can be spent on checking imports into this country. I mean, it's a fresh food tax and I think it is absolutely terrible. I think there is a responsibility for the government to be the one who is actually protecting our borders. And if importers are providing a risk or presenting a risk to this country, then they should be footing the bill for making sure that their product is clean when it comes into this country, not our farmers. So nothing could be more important as a primary producer. But I think people in the city need to realise that's where their beautiful fresh food comes from, and protecting the integrity of that is important.
Hear, hear. Appreciate your time this morning, Anne. Thank you very much for that, and I hope you have a good Thursday.
Thank you so much.
Anne Rustin, the South Australian Senator, who's the Shadow Minister for Health and Aged Care and also Sport.